I've talked about it on the show before, but one of the movies that really changed my life is a big statement. This movie, All the Rage, simply changed the trajectory of how I thought about pain and illness, and whether it was chronic pain or even acute pain in a lot of ways, and my body's ability to heal. We're going to dive a little bit more into that today. Welcome back to the show. It is Thursday, September the 25th. Thank you so much for being here. I'm Eddie Lindenstein, the host of the Mind and Fitness Podcast. Michael Galinsky, who was on the show many, many years ago, was the director for All the Rage, Saved by Sarno, which was a documentary that was done over the course of many years about Dr. Sarno and his life and his line of work. Now, I had Michael on the podcast, I think it was 2018 or 2019, but I've kept in touch with him over the years, and that's been really wonderful. He was booked on a TEDx talk that he did. This is going to be kind of like a two-parter. So week one, it's about a 20-minute TED talk that he's going to give. And I'm just going to play the audio for that so you can listen to Michael talk about his experience and all of that. Next week is an interview with Michael that I did sort of as a sequel to this TED talk. And what's interesting, and we'll talk about this a little bit, is that initially TEDx had put a disclaimer on this podcast and had delisted it or unlisted it, which is really a bummer for somebody that's working that hard on this. God, my dogs are going insane. I'm not sure if you can hear them. Somebody's at the door, which means I got to go crazy, and it always happens right when I start when I start recording. But this is a great talk that Michael gives. So without further ado, this week's episode again is with Michael Galinsky. The title of the TEDx talk that he gave is "The Disease of Being Human: How I Was Saved by Dr. Sarno" by Michael Galinsky. Let's give it a listen.
That's me. 15 years ago. When the pressures that I put myself under caught up with me, I got slammed to my office floor in incredible pain. My wife and I are filmmakers, and I had spent the previous couple months just pushing myself way beyond my capacity, trying to distribute a film we'd made. My body was screaming at me to slow down, to stop, but I just couldn't listen. And this had happened before, a few years earlier. I'd found a doctor, he'd helped me to heal. He was a really interesting guy. I'd actually started to make a film about him. But like my healing, that film stalled before it really got going. When it happened a couple years later, I screamed, "Grab the camera," that's what you saw, because I knew I had to finish that film in order to heal, and I knew that I had to be in it. While I was stuck on the floor, I thought a lot about the stories that we tell ourselves about ourselves and how those shape our sense of who we are. And I tried to use that as a tool to try to rewrite my own story. And I also started to think about other stories in my life. I had a memory of being in the second grade. This one got me yesterday. And I woke up hearing what I thought was my parents fighting. It turned out it was my mom calling an ambulance, because my dad had an ulcer, and it was bad. He was bleeding. She was panicking. It was terrifying. My mom screamed at my brother and I and told us to go get the school bus. And I just remember walking to the bus, just being in shock, not knowing what was going to happen. He was okay. He was in the hospital for about a week, and he recovered. Shortly after he recovered, our family was in a small, car accident. It was not really a big deal. No one got hurt. But he got whiplash. And so he spent the next 10 years really struggling with pain. It was really difficult on our family. Eventually, a colleague of his gave him a book called Healing Back Pain. That book made the connection between chronic pain and the repression of emotions. My dad was a clinical psychologist, so this book made total sense to him. That simple piece of knowledge that those emotions he might be repressing were causing his pain created a kind of instantaneous cure. My dad, he was frugal, very frugal, but he bought a whole case of that book because he wanted to have a copy for anybody who might need it. 10 years later, my brother needed that book.
I'm Adam Walensky. I'm a social psychologist. When I got to grad school, there was all these articles about beware of repetitive stress injury, RSI. I read one of these articles and I got seized with fear. I was like, oh my God, I hope I don't get RSI. And then one day I just, you know, felt the twinge in my hands and then tingling, shooting down my arm. And that led to 3 years really of trying to find a cure for this thing.
So my brother almost had to drop out of graduate school because he couldn't type. He gave me his car because he couldn't drive. And when they told him that he had to carve away part of his collarbone to free the nerves in his neck, my dad went ballistic. I think he was already upset that he hadn't read the book. But he said, you better go see that doctor who helped me or I am not going to talk to you again. He was pretty mad. A week later, my brother called me. He wanted his car back. He wasn't really ready to drive yet, but one of the things that doctor told him is, you can't be afraid of driving. You gotta start doing it. It's the fear that's the problem. There's nothing wrong with your hands, it's just that you're afraid. At this point, you're probably wondering, who is this doctor? And I think some of you probably know him. Does anybody here know who I'm talking about? No. His name is Dr. John Sarno, and he's the one who wrote Healing Back Pain. He sold millions of books, and very few people know about him.
It's knowledge that is the cure here. Knowledge is the only prescription that I have and that I give to patients. I tell them what's going on, and wow, lo and behold, it stops hurting.
In the 1970s, Dr. Sarno started working at NYU's Rusk Institute for Rehabilitation Medicine at NYU. He very quickly became frustrated because everything he'd been taught about back pain, none of it was helping. The physical therapy, the traction, the bed rest, his patients weren't getting better. So he started to look at data that supported these modalities. He couldn't find any. So he started to listen even more carefully to his patients, trying to figure out what's going on in their lives. And he started to think like his favorite literary character, Sherlock Holmes. He looked at their charts. He just spent a lot of time looking at research, looking for clues.
88% of the people I was seeing had histories of 1 to 4 of these other mind-body disorders. And then all of a sudden I said, hey, maybe this is mind-body disorder too. I began to put it to them, and of course many of the patients said, no, that's ridiculous, but some of them said, yeah, maybe. And those were the patients who got better. Again, we can put this very, very broadly, that we all generate feelings in the unconscious mind of which we are totally unaware as a result of our life experiences, which begin in childhood.
He did a lot of research, and after a little bit of time, he figured out 2 very important things. The first thing he found was that if he made space to listen to patients and get them to open up about what was going on in their lives and their emotions, they got better a lot faster. And a lot of them were like my father. That simple awareness that that repression was causing their problems made so much sense to them, and then they were able to address it. The second thing he noticed is that most of his patients he could classify as goodist, people pleasers. They were perfectionists. They pushed themselves to great lengths to just do for others, sometimes to a ridiculous degree. He recognized that that was probably a trauma response to not having their needs met in childhood. And what happens is you get hyper-aware of what everybody else needs and you become a people pleaser. And in that way, you start repressing your own emotions. Comedians tend to be people pleasers. One of his patients was Larry David.
He was saying it was psychological. And if anybody had told me that before he did, I would have said, you're crazy. What do you mean psychological? I feel it. You think I'm making this pain up in my arm? It was the closest thing that I've ever had in my life to a religious experience. And I wept. Yeah.
Before making a diagnosis, Dr. Sarno did a very thorough physical examination of his patients. He was a psychiatrist. He was a medical doctor, even though he paid attention to what was going on in the mind. If he found nothing wrong, like a broken bone, a torn ligament, a tumor, he invited them to a series of lectures in which he explained what was going on in the mind and the body and helped them to figure out how they could both get rid of their fear and then also deal with their emotions. Dr. Sarno explained to his patients that pain can function as both a warning signal and a distraction, often at the same time, especially in relation to the repression of emotions. So if we break our bone, the pain warning signal keeps us from hurting ourselves even worse, right? Like if we have a broken bone and we continue to use it, we'll hurt. So pain is an important signal that keeps us safe. But what most people miss is that through trauma, a lot of the times, our emotions will feel so unsafe that it feels safer to deal with pain. So the way it works is the amygdala sees that emotion as such a threat that it pushes it down, but there's another part of our body that's pushing it up. So when we're repressing our need, we're in kind of fight and flight and in an internal conflict. It's really important to remember that in our society, it's way more acceptable to have a physical illness rather than an emotional illness. So you can't call up your boss and say, I can't come in today because I'm having a lot of strong emotions. But you can say, I can't get out of bed because my back hurts. And it's not that they're making a decision to do that. It's that their body is choosing to do it because it is safer to have a physical pain than an emotional one. This simple awareness allowed Dr. Sarno to have so much success treating his patients.
What has happened in the last 40 years? These things have spread in epidemic fashion. Why? Fear, again, thanks to the medical profession to a large extent. People have learned to be afraid of herniation, degeneration, arthritis. Remember what I said, get out of the physical ballpark, get into the psychological ballpark. Totally, both feet.
Despite his success, Dr. Sarno was completely ostracized by the medical community. He started discovering these things in the 70s. And after World War II, the biomechanical approach to medicine came into sway. Everything related to the emotions, Freud, the unconscious, it was swept away. Anybody who talked about the emotions in medicine from the 60s to the 70s to the 80s to the 90s was a complete outcast. And despite this, he continued to work and he published his books. He reached millions of patients, but he had no respect in the community. However, some doctors did come to see him. One doctor I met named Roy Seidenberg is a dermatologist in New York City. He had terrible back pain. His sister-in-law gave him the book. He threw it across the room. He finally read it, got better, and he started to incorporate Dr. Sarno's work into his work.
I had back pain. My sister-in-law told me about Dr. Sarno. I just thought she was a quack, but then a year later, I just said, you know, something else has got to be going on here. So I read his book. It really changed my practice. A young woman will walk into the office with hives, and then I'll say to her, oh, so when are you getting married? And she's like, how did you know? How did you know? I go, well, I can't tell you how many times a woman has walked into this office with hives about a month before their wedding.
Before their wedding. So Dr. Sarno's methods were both simple and direct, but also really complex because everybody has their own trauma, their own story. It's not a one-size-fits-all situation. I had to start working on figuring out my own story when I had my pain problems. And one of the things I started to think about was I had a memory of being in second grade and being so ashamed of crying on the playground. I mean, deeply ashamed. And I went somewhere really deep inside that day and I repressed it so deeply that I didn't cry again. I still have trouble crying, right? It was very successful, which is really a pain in my ass now, right? It was bad. These stories that we tell and these stories that we bring are both part of our environment and they're part of our genes. I think about my parents, both of whom grew up in immigrant families, families that had fled anti-Semitism in Eastern Europe, and they grew up focused on assimilation and achievement. They became college professors, and they expected us to achieve as well. Maybe put a little bit too much pressure on me. If I got a 95 on the test, my dad would say, where's those other 5 points? When I graduated from college, I had a really great sense of relief because that pressure came off. And that's when my brother was dealing with that same kind of heavy pressure and he had his healing visit with Dr. Sarno. That's when I read his book. And at the time, I would have back pain once or twice a year. It was never too serious. But reading the book, I banished it for 10 years. then when I had kids and a family and a wobbly career. That pressure started to get to me and I felt some pain in my hip. I read the book. I really tried to check in with my emotions. It got worse. I got more scared. Next thing I knew, I was screaming on the floor in pain. And that's when I went to see Dr. Sarno.
You're having pain in these other places because of a variety of spinal nerves, not just the one that is affected by the L4-5 disc.
And I also have a history of migraines, which actually I haven't had myself.
Those are other disorders that stem from the same psychology.
This is when we started to make our film about Dr. Sarno, after seeing him in his office. Like I said before, that film stalled, and it happened again, and that's when I got back to work on the film. The exciting news is that when I got back to work on the film, I found that there were lots of other doctors who discovered the same thing he had. I found Dr. Gabor Maté had written a book called When the Body Says No. He had the same understanding as Dr. Sarno, but in relation to autoimmune disease. It's called When the Body Says No because all the people he was talking about were people pleasers. And when they couldn't say no, their body would say it for them. I found a book by Bessel van der Kolk, The Body Keeps the Score. It's about how trauma affects our body. I found a book by Dr. David Clark. He was a gastroenterologist who discovered the same thing in relation to his work, and he cured 7,000 people by getting them to understand what was going on in their lives. I also found that there were a lot of doctors who had followed, who had been healed by Dr. Sarno, and they took up his work. They published these amazing books. And as we got to work on our film, we included them all in it, and after 5 years, we finished All the Rage, Saved by Sarno. We opened it in New York City on what we found out was his 94th birthday. And it was a really amazing event. We found out the following day he had passed away the day before his 94th birthday. Yeah, but it was really nice to know that we had been able to tell his story. The other good news is that a couple years later, those doctors who had followed him, they put together a study using pain reprocessing therapy, which is based on Dr. Sarno's mind-body approach, and it had a 70% healing rate. People had 70% improvement in pain over 30 days using this. And what was really profound about the study is they used fMRI machines to look at the place in the brain where chronic pain exists, and over those 30 days, they saw a complete diminishment of that activity. So they were able to show us that neuroscience shows us that we can rewrite these stories in our brain. We can change the way we think and change our brain. And it's really exciting that that had so much power. After every screening of the film, people say, "So are you healed?" And I always say, "I have this disease. It's called being human. It's always fatal. But right now I'm doing pretty well." I want to show you, on his last day in office, he got a book called The Thank You Dr. Sarno Book, and it had tons of thank you notes from people. And this day, he really summed up everything about his story.
All of this because of one simple idea. The mind and the body are intimately connected. That's it. That's the whole story.
It's true, right? The mind and the body are intimately connected, but for most of the 20th century, the medical system did not acknowledge that. And the good news is when we do acknowledge it for ourselves, we can find healing. Everybody in this room can think about the things that they're trying not to think about and recognize that maybe it's not that painful to just address them, rather than carry that pain for the rest of your life. Thank you.